and thank you for tuning in to My Trainer Live with Kathy Dolan. Welcome. Thank you for listening. I hope you find the topics that I cover and the information that I share inspiring. Inspiring enough to make a small change in your health and fitness, your habits. And we want to bring you to the best version of yourself, the strongest version of you. I love sharing tips for personal growth, directional templates that get my clients results, and I like to share them with you all. And again, thank you for coming back. And if you're new to the program, welcome, welcome. Please take a few minutes to like, rate, and subscribe. And those of you that are subscribing, make sure that you turn on your notifications so when we drop a new episode, you're the first to get it. Today's episode is a mix of subjects. So sit back, keep walking or lifting weights or doing whatever you do during the podcast. For me personally, I typically listen to podcasts when I'm out doing my morning cardio, and sometimes I'll turn them on when I'm working in the kitchen. So enjoy. Today we're going to be talking about, are you feeling stuck? You know that feeling when you have lots of things to get done and you just cannot seem to get up and get them going and move in that direction. Maybe you've written out goals and you just can't move in that direction. That sounds like you may be stuck. We can get you unstuck. You're going to reclaim your skin, your heart, and your squats. So follow up for some tips on glowing skincare. My secrets. I've been a skin junkie for a long time, since I was in my 30s. I'll be answering your fitness questions like, how often should you weigh in? Do I have to weigh every day? So stay tuned. I'm sure this last year has shown you just how strong you really are. What have you learned from this pause in life? Take a minute to think about and acknowledge that the fight is still inside you. It's still there. Guess what? That is my gain of the week. Shout outs to all the moms and dads who sacrificed to keep their businesses running, to raise the kids amongst a pandemic. I am thankful for the gains in my business. We like to start out the podcast with gains and losses, roses and thorns. So I'll share a couple gains with you. And that's one of mine, the growth of my business. Did you know that home businesses have grown by leaps and bounds this last year? And more women are exploring these options. Women-owned businesses continue to fuel our economy, and now we represent 42% of all businesses. That's nearly 13 million. Stay strong, ladies. Today, on a walk with my daughter, I was explaining to her that in this day and age, women make less than men. Business insiders say, overall, women who were full-time, year-round employees made 82.3 cents for every dollar men made in 2019. That's based on data from the Census Current Population Survey. That means women are paid 17.7% less than men, earning about $10,157 less than men, according to Business Insider. I don't know where I read this somewhere, but it's something to the effect, you know, the next 100 years will be referred to as the female takeover. Women are more likely to have home-based businesses than men. Well, ladies, how are we doing during this pandemic? I'm sure you've had to adjust and come up with new models, new automations, and all those things, but I really hope that you're moving along. There was a survey done of business women owners, female business owners, who ranked their business overall health as somewhat or very good, and they fell 13 points during this pandemic, from 60% in January to about 47% in July. By contrast, the number of male business owners reported a good business health status only fell 5 points in the same period, 67 to 62. So hang in there, everybody. We're going to come out of this. Please keep in mind, seek out and support service providers that are specifically looking to help women entrepreneurs. Hey, maybe you are looking to start a home business. Sign up for my business coaching program and I will get you moving in the right direction to get your business started. So what are my gains again this week? I got one more for you. I had started this project and I had it in my brain. You know how you get a goal or something you want to do in your brain and you kind of log it? When I first moved down to the beach, I went to an art show and I saw this beautiful piece of art and I wanted it. So I took the lady's card and I stuck it away. At that time, I didn't feel like I could spend the extra money on artwork as we had just moved down and we were putting our roots in the new home. So I put it aside and I, at one point, calculated, okay, I can make it myself. I'm going to try to make it myself and replicate it. I'm going to go to Home Depot and do what I need to do and buy the materials. Well, I don't know. It just didn't feel right. So I deferred that project. Well, not too long ago, I think I might have shared this on one of my podcasts. They were taking out the fences in our area and I went up to the workers and said, you know, could I have a piece of that fence? And they said, yes. So I got two pieces of the fence. And so it was just going to go to the dump. So I reclaimed and repurposed material to make this art project. Well, I finished it. And it was just really funny because it took about a year coming, right? Maybe, no, it's longer than that to get it done. But you know what? The point of that and what I learned is that it's really okay to defer things and that timing is on our side if we let it. I actually like my art piece better than the one I was inspired by. How about that? So that was my gains. I finished my craft project. Another gain is I got my teen through the DMV process and we now have a permit. We have a driver. Here is the loss. I think I've experienced a real loss of the need to compete or rush. That's what I've learned. I posted some information on my YouTube channel and I had a person come on and leave a comment and he was Sir Somebody. It's a Shakespearean name, Sir Somebody. No followers. You know, he's just one of these things, no profile picture, but he dropped something in my YouTube comments to the effect that he didn't agree. And this is secondary. He didn't agree with the information that I had done lots of research on. And I prefaced the video saying, this is a controversial subject. You will have to decide for yourself. Well, it's just what I've decided after years of training clients and reading the science and practical work, applying it to my own workouts. And he disagreed, which is absolutely fine. I would love to have a healthy conversation with him. But that came to a screeching halt when this person proceeded to call me a bimbo and probably a freshly new certified trainer, which I've been doing this for a lot of years, guys. I am not a freshly certified trainer. So that to me just shut it down. It's like we can't have a conversation with that narrative. So bye-bye, sir. It's really, I wish him growth. I really do. I wish him growth because, you know, it isn't so noble to sit behind a screen with such unhealthy narratives. So if you have any sort of social media, just realize that you're in control. You can delete and block, and you don't have time for that. I read another one from somebody else posting, and this person was having some sort of problem she was dealing with, which we all deal with problems, of course. And she kind of ended it by saying, at least I'm not alone. Single people are stereotyped, stigmatized. Is that an outdated narrative? Think before you spill. Think before you type. Think before you post. A deficit perspective is rampant. What is a deficit perspective? It relates to the common tendency to see someone different than us as someone less than us. So be careful how you word things because people have such a heightened awareness now. And you know, maybe that person didn't mean it that way, but be careful how you spill your narratives, peoples. Growth can be uncomfortable and you know it. Are you stuck? Do you feel like you can't grow? You can't move in the direction? As a coach, it's important for me to know when to push my clients and when to prop them up. And through our sessions together and our time together, good relationships form over time. And it's important to keep priority the growth, priority of growth with my clients. I see when a client gets stuck. We've all been there, myself included. So maybe there's an area that you want to push through, and maybe there's an area you just need to be patient. Be patient in that area. When you have to pull back, use the time to rethink, redesign, reapproach, create a new recipe, a new formula. It's really important to follow the tug on your gut. So again, going back to something so small as my project, the old me would have just really pushed on through to get it done. But the newer me, the personal growth that I've experienced with age, I find that you got to just let go and trust and have faith that it will work out when it's supposed to. And that can be really, really tough. But remember, time works in our favor. Deferring a project or a dream or a goal doesn't mean you're giving up. Just notice your patterns. If you do it repeatedly and you never seem to get anywhere in any of the areas of your life, well, that's procrastination. You may want to look at that. What I've learned is there's a difference between procrastination and your gut feeling. And sometimes you can't quite put your finger on it. You just can't do what you know you need to do. And you don't know why, because you're a highly motivated person. And that's what I'm talking about. I came across this quote for you. And this is a quote by Emily Marichon. You're not stuck. You're just committed to certain patterns of behavior because they helped you in the past. Now those behaviors have become more harmful than helpful. The reason you can't move forward is because you keep applying an old formula to a new level in your life. Change the formula to get a different result. I have definitely felt stuck in my life at times, and I'm really thankful that I have intuition and I've developed those gut instincts. I have a spirit of learning new ways, patterns, shapes, habits, mindset, which is vital to healthy personal growth. If you want to catch up with Emily, she's an award-winning author of 5 best-selling books. Check out her books. A couple of them are In Case Nobody Told You, The Energy of Emotions, The Book of Relief, and I am not a paid spokesperson for her. I did enjoy some of the takeaways from this amazing quote. So if you're feeling stuck, have a vision and cultivate your intuition, your strength, and your compassion. When you get unstuck, it's like taking little small steps towards your future. Visualize your future self. And when you write in your journal, write to your future self. I really love that one. Do something new. Try a yoga class. Commit to 30 days. Read a daily devotional. Write to your future self daily. And here's the thing, stick to it for at least 30 days. Get with a coach who can guide you and give you a new formula to your goals. Open doors that you've never even imagined. You will wonder why you didn't start sooner. All right, guys, I'm going to go into some questions sent in. Some of these questions have come through training sessions with my clients, and then some of you that follow me have been sending in, and I really appreciate that. So keep the questions coming. First question, can you lose weight without tracking macros and counting calories? Yes, of course you can. But I will suggest, if you want to be really good at not tracking macros and counting calories, it would be really good to do a few things before you move into that mindset, right? I would suggest, like I did in my past episode here, to track your macros for just 7 days. That's all. 7 days. You're going to get some nuggets of insight to, number one, getting in the ballpark of total calories. You're going to educate yourself, and this will all be hugely beneficial when you move into creating this intuition type of eating. You can have benefits from tracking, contrast to not tracking. If you're coming from a past eating disorder, this may not be the best approach for you. Is this where you live now? You just don't want to track calories? Share your experience. I'd love to hear it, and I'd love to get some insight to that thinking. How often should I weigh in? If you're attempting weight loss, should I weigh in daily or weekly? Well, that's a good question to ask yourself, right? How often should I weigh in? I would suggest weekly, but there's a lot of things that would influence that recommendation. If you've had a past with eating disorders, I definitely would not recommend weighing yourself every day, daily, although there are a lot of people that do weigh in daily. But I would say weekly, because here's the thing. If you only weigh yourself once in a while, you get false impressions and you don't get a grasp of the trends going on. Averages are important and so is consistency. So you got to have a little bit of faith in what you're doing. You don't want to be depressed or surprised or avoid getting on the scale altogether because of your emotions being elated or depressed. So the number on the scale is not who you are. So if you insist on weighing daily, keep those things in mind. Again, I recommend weighing weekly. So say, for instance, you're trying to lose body fat and you've reduced your calories by 15 to 25%. You should be losing weight because you are losing fat. So keep that in mind, daily, weekly, or every 2 weeks at the minimum. Next question, what is fueling my workouts, carbs or protein? I pose this question to my clients on their weekly fitness journal. Carbs, you guys. When you're lifting weights, carbs are your primary fuel source. That's what your body uses when you're lifting those heavy weights, when you're moving them around. We do get energy from carbs, proteins, and fat, but protein is not used much during those weightlifting workouts. When we go into low intensity, the body uses fat for energy. When things speed up or get heavy, the body's energy comes from carbs. But always remember, protein helps repair the work you just did. Protein helps to build the muscle. So post-workout, you might be doing that 3-to-1 carbs to protein. If your goal is muscle gain, protein, carbs, and fat, make sure you're following up within an hour of an intense workout. Ingesting protein will maximize the protein synthesis in the time after the lift. So just a general rule, maybe try to get 20 grams of protein within an hour of lifting. You do want to avoid sugar, low carbs, salty processed food, fried food, and caffeine after a workout. Next question. I'm losing weight, but what can I do for sagging skin, wrinkly skin? Okay, guys, this girl loves skincare. I'm talking about me. I have always been fascinated with taking care of our skin. I remember my mom, we're Irish. She had this beautiful complexion. And as a young girl, I would just look at her and I just loved her complexion. She had blue eyes. She was very fair. And she just had beautiful skin right to the end of her life. And she was a very basic girl. She was an Avon person. She sold Avon. She was an Avon lady. So she loved the Avon creams and things. So I'll talk a little bit down the road here of genetics and skincare and skin types. But first of all, our skin spans 22 square feet, which makes it significantly larger than your second largest organ, which is the liver. So that, think about it, your skin is your coating, right? Your skin has 3 layers. We always talk about the skin as if it's just 1 layer, but believe me, there are 3 layers going on. You have the epidermis, the dermis, and the hypodermis. Skin helps regulate our temperature, and what's pretty amazing is we shed thousands of skin cells each minute. I think it's like, what did I read? 30 to 40,000 per minute. Wow. No wonder you need to change those sheets and pillowcases, right? Your skin has varying levels of thickness. Your eyelids are really thin, while the palms and the soles of your feet are thick. So I am a Retin A user. Again, I'll talk about this down the road. And I started using Retin A in my late 30s. And I kind of went on and off of it. It became very, very popular, and I kind of got on the trend before where you could get a prescription from your doctor and go get a tube of it for $99, and it would last me like 3 to 6 months. Well, those days are gone. because the pharmaceuticals have realized that people are buying it for, you know, skincare. So I have kind of stopped using it for a little while, and our skin definitely changes as we get older. And I just recently found some medical grade retinol that I started using. Make sure you follow the directions, guys. But I got put it on one night, yay, put it on two nights, and I'm doing really great. And then I got really bold and I put it around my eyes, and the skin is thinner there. And it kind of, for a few days it made my eyes a little crepey. It kind of burned. The skin is thinner, and you're really not supposed to put Retin-A around your eyes. But I'm just here to tell you that, yes, the skin around your eyes is thinner. Now, I'm also really experienced with peels. I have a company that I use for home peels, and I'm talking like glycolic peels and then even like the Jesner peels that are pretty intense. So educate yourself if that is where you're headed. Again, skin types can change as we get older. You might think you've had the exact same skin type all your life, and then hormonal imbalances come in. Climate change. I went from living in high altitude down to, you know, I see the beach from the front of my house. So age can make your skin go from one type to another, and so can climate change and hormonal imbalances. Genetics don't determine how your skin ages. A lot of people attribute how quickly their skin ages to their genetics, but guess what? It turns out that external factors play a huge role in skin aging. Of course, you guys all know this: sun exposure accounts for 90% of premature aging. So yes, I did grow up laying out by the pool. I never smoked, although smoking, you know, can have a huge factor on how quickly your skin ages. My mother never smoked. And what are some things that you can do besides limit your sun exposure and use your sunblocks? Well, antioxidants, vitamin C, helps us maintain healthy, younger looking skin. Did you know that sleeping can possibly give you wrinkles? Okay, we know we need sleep. Sleep is good for us because our bodies repair and rebuild. But did you know that sleeping on your side or your stomach could be applying pressure to your face, which will contribute to the appearance of wrinkles? I have this amazing gal that I use in San Diego, and I'm going to see if I can get her on the show with you guys. But she did a little video, a little TikTok, I think it was, or a Reels. And she was talking about, okay, laying on your face, this is what it does. It kind of, you train the skin on your face to wrinkle. So I'm a side sleeper, and I tend to stick my face forward ahead of the pillows. But yes, how you sleep on your pillows can contribute to the appearance of your skin on your face. Now, I'm going to go back to this question, and I'm not sure if the person was talking. Well, this person did say wrinkles too, so I'll talk sagging skin and wrinkles. Keep going here. So what can you do? Going one step back one more time on the sleep thing. Did you know that most people, when you sleep, you should be getting saturations of 96 to 98 when you're sleeping, but they're finding that people's oxygens are dropping if you tend to snore, have sleep apnea and things like that. So what happens is when you're not sleeping and you have those periods of, you know, gasping coming out of a snoring cycle, you wake up feeling exhausted. And your adrenalines are just this slow wave of constant on and off and on and off. And you never really get into that REM, deep sleep overall. So we know that sleep is important for our overall health. So I just wanted to add that in, you know, aside from, you know, wrinkles from sleeping on your side, but go internal. We really do need our sleep. And if we're not getting sleep, it's going to show in our eyes. It's going to show in our skin. We're going to have cognitive decline. We're going to be functioning poorly. So it's not to your advantage to ignore these lifestyle changes that need to be worked on or changed. So sleep is very, very foundational. Dark spots on your skin, I definitely have those from my sun days. But again, wear your broad spectrum sunblock. And start in your teens. Boy, when I take my daughter out, even when she was a little girl, I was just putting that sunscreen on her to protect her skin. And then let's talk diet. Avocados, salmon, carrots, extra virgin olive oil, lemons, vitamin C produces collagen. Taking collagen peptides. Link in my bio. I just put a new product on my website that will rock your socks off. So collagen peptides, there's a lot of research on collagen peptides. And the one thing that I kind of gleaned out of the research is you want to avoid the marine collagen, as you never know what you're getting when something is labeled marine collagen. Bovine cattle, coming from cattle, seems to be what's researched and can make a massive difference in your connective tissue, your gut health, your hair and your nails. It can encourage that muscle mass, your immune system, your connective tissue. Hydrate. Skin damage. Oh yes. Here you go, you guys. I have a code for 25% off for this Retin-A that I talked about earlier, and it's from Dermtology, and it's DRMTLGY. That's how they spell it. But if you're interested in getting that code, I'll drop it in the notes below. And then finally, when you plump up your muscles, you're gonna, I have heard of plastic surgeons, they won't even touch somebody for a skin tuck until they've got their health in place, they're working out, they have a good routine going, and they've started to build the muscle. When you start to build the muscle, it's gonna plump up that skin a little bit. And isn't that what you want? To be able to have some tone when you flex your arms to pick up that iced tea by the pool with your sunscreen on, of course. Okay, so plump up the muscles. And then finally, I am not opposed to surgery. I have lots of clients who have had tummy tucks, arm tucks, and that's what you got to do at some point if you can't draw your skin back up. And if it makes you feel better, go for the surgery. Should I take breaks from my diet? Studies done on overweight or obese clients, research shows it is not harmful and can be helpful. But let's talk about break. A break is considered a few weeks. A break is not considered a few years. I heard of a brand new study where they took resistance-trained females 6 weeks with diet breaks. And there was no change in those who did or did not take that break. Maybe half a pound difference. During diet breaks, they gained a half a kilogram and lost some weight. Water weight. Maybe it was from overeating. High protein seems to be the answer. So yes, even if it's once a week, 2 weeks break, keep your protein high. Keep weight training. And you can kind of track it loosely as you design your diet around your lifestyle. Flexible dieting. Learn the skill. Macro makeover. Sign up for one. That I do those all the time where I'm just kind of guiding you to the ballpark so you can enjoy the game. If it fits your macros and it makes sense, go ahead and fit it in. But here's what I'm seeing a lot on Instagram. I mean, some of these 30, 40 year old women are eating like an 8 year old. Lucky Charms, pre-workout. What are those crazy candy bars, Reese's peanut butter cups before a workout. Yeah, guys, you can do that. You're going to burn those carbs, but you know what? Is it healthy? Are you getting enough vitamins? Are you getting enough fiber? So that is where, when I hear flexible dieting versus tracking macros or tracking calories and tracking fiber and tracking sodium and tracking, are you eating 5 servings of fruits and vegetables a day? To me, that overrides anything else. So if you really want to be healthy, you want to look at your macro breakdown. You want to look at your fruits and vegetables, your clean proteins, and don't kid yourself too much with that flexible dieting. Intuitive eating works for some, but not for everybody. I did a blog article a while back, if you want to go read it, about Jennifer Aniston, about her diet lifestyle and what happens when she goes on vacation or she you know, goes to work to make a movie, and there's training breaks and diet breaks. Well, you can learn how Jennifer Aniston incorporates these training breaks into her work. So you can do it. We can do any lifestyle. It's just a matter of keeping you healthy and realizing there's going to be breaks. So if you're breaking in your diet, again, a week, 2 days, 2 weeks, a month, what is the time frame there? I hope that helps. I really feel awkward doing deadlifts or hamstring work. That's really common, guys. If you're not used to weight training, again, be patient. Practice makes perfect. And you're so dang tight in your hamstrings, so you're going into new territory. I've worked with lots and lots of women who just really, really, truly feel awkward doing squats and deadlifts. Think about, you floss your teeth and you kind of get used to it. You know, you get a little tough. Well, think about flossing your hamstrings. You'll get used to it, and pretty soon it'll just feel like a really healthy habit. What I would suggest is get your form analyzed. Do a movement assessment. I do them. Lots of trainers do them. What we do is we videotape you. I love drawing on the video, showing back, showing hamstrings, showing chin, showing shins, and really break down your hamstring deadlift, your squats. And yep, just like flossing your teeth, you're going to get more comfortable. It's like I say, it's really normal to feel uncomfortable at first. Hope that helps. What does EMOM or AMRAP stand for? Well, my clients should know this if you train with me, because we love an every minute on the minute, an EMOM, or as many reps as possible. So there you go. That's what those stand for. It could be as many rounds as possible that you'll repeat an exercise, or rounds of several exercises, as many times as you can within a certain time frame. So here's just one example. How many burpees can you do in 1 minute? A lot of times when my clients start with me, we do assessments. I'll set a clock for a minute, 60 seconds, and I'll see how many push-ups they can do on their knees, how many they can do on their toes, and so on and so on. All right, guys, that wraps up today's episode. I want you to keep growing in your awareness. Realize that growth can be uncomfortable, but you know you are growing when? When you're okay with being misunderstood and you're not afraid to speak your mind. I know that's hard in this world today. Don't automatically blame yourself when something goes wrong. And notice your triggers. Notice what triggers you. That's usually a sign of something that you could work on, self-growth. I have a final quote for you. Each of us has the right, that possibility, to invent ourselves daily. If a person does not invent herself, she will be invented. So to be bodacious enough to invent ourselves is wise. Maya Angelou, we love you. Thank you, and send in those questions. And until next time, guys, stay strong.